Step into our confessional. Confess all. We won't tell anyone. Just the entire nation. From Greatest Hits Radio, Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Welcome to the Simon Mayo's Confession Podcast. I'm Simon Mayo, except, of course, I'm not, because Simon is a bit ill, got a bad throaty cough and lost his voice. But I'm Brother Matt, and I'm here. Sister Susie, you're with us?
I am indeed. I'm gathered in the pub, and I guess you could say this is a collective takeover of this week's episode of the Confessions Podcast from your friends at Greatest Hits Radio.
You could definitely say that. It's a bit like when you've got a supply teacher in. So main teacher is off, we are the supply, but thankfully, like when the main teacher's off, they've left all the work for you to do. We're just going to sit at the front of the room and you just have to do your stuff, everybody. You listen to our podcast, you listen to the confessions, and you enjoy our five-star reviews and our not-safe-for-being-broadcast features. All the normal stuff, just no Simon Mayo. So pretty much straightforward, I'm going to say, Suze, this is going to be like a freeform jazz way of doing confessions. Are you up for that?
Freeform jazz. You know how much I love freeform jazz.
Yes.
So why not? Let's go.
Can't get enough. Coming up, we have got a quick visit to the parish notice board. We're going to catch up with the goings-on in the parish. There's a roll call of shame to the not-for-broadcast file.
Yes, and we've got a couple of bonus confessions that I've dug around in the crypt, featuring a pair of leather trousers and some real-life nuns. Sadly, not in the same confession.
Oh, real-life nuns. Now, you get to hear this week's confessions from the Simon Mayo Drive Time Show on Greatest Hits Radio. So the two we're going to bring you are Mr. Banks's Bristolian confession, Let's Go Fly a Kite. But first, we have Terry's sibling confession, C30, C60, C90, what?
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
We won't tell anyone. What? Oh, sorry. I mean, we will tell everyone.
Dear Father Simon, Sister Susie, Sister Holly, forgiving Brother Matthew,
yep,
and the extended clergy. My confession is one that took place back in the distant 1980s when I lived at home along with my much larger and older brother. Because it will annoy him, we're going to call him Daz.
Daz?
I was about 11 years old, and Daz was in his early 20s. As with most brothers, there were daily fracas, usually on his return from work. The level of violence in these friendly altercations varied from the, from the occasional dead arm or leg through to the more severe Daz pleading, "Please don't tell Mum I gave you that black eye. I'll let you use my Walkman for a week."
Excellent.
So it's that kind of family, that kind of technology. It was after one of these don't tell Mum moments that I was sat recovering in my room and playing with a popular Danish modular construction toy and listening to the boyish tones of a young Simon Mayo breakfast show on Radio 1. I'd recorded on my upright cassette player from that morning's show. Delete this, Father Simon, if it wasn't legal. I think we all coped somehow with the copyright infringement.
Yeah.
Seething from the pasting I had just taken, I was looking for a way to avenge myself. Because then I noticed that the buttons on top of my upright cassette player were exactly the same size as the square modular, obviously Lego blocks, with four bumps on that I had in my hand. And a plan started to form. Daz was making a show of the fact that he was going out to a Halloween party with his mates and wouldn't be back until late. So, QA team style montage of ingenuity and creation. Once Daz had left for his night out of shenanigans and his leather jacket smelling of patchouli oil, I snuck into his room with my cassette player, crawled under his bed and measured the gap between the play button and the bottom of the mattress. Making allowances for a sag in said mattress, once his bulky frame was lying on top of it, I stacked the aforementioned square Lego bricks on top of the cassette player's play button and secured them in place with tape. On top of these blocks, I placed a flat piece to widen the area so that when he was in slumber, the downward pressure of his weight would cause the play button to be pushed down and activated. I then found a black cassette tape and fast-forwarded about 10 minutes into the empty reel, turned the volume halfway down and recorded myself screaming and wailing like a crazed banshee into the microphone.
Yes.
Rewound the tape to the beginning and turned the volume to max. Now all I had to do was wait. I'm not sure what time Daz got home, but it was very late. I heard him stumble around in his room. I caught a sniff of the patchouli oil under my door. The light switch was off and then there was silence. After what seemed like an eternity, it started. The sound of very, very loud screaming and wailing, along with the confused screams of Daz coming from his room. I could hear several choice words followed by the sound of Daz crashing and falling over items of furniture and discarded clothing to escape this terror of his room into the safety of the hallway and our mum and dad. His bedroom was apparently possessed by the devil, the omen, demons from hell, the agents of Satan, the angels of Lucifer, and very possibly old Beelzebub himself. Father Simon, I do not seek forgiveness from Daz, as he had some payback due, but rather I seek forgiveness from my hardworking parents, who were in a deep slumber when they were rudely awoken by the sound of crazed howls of Halloween terror coming from my brother's room, followed by the sight of a pale, terrified, confused, slightly inebriated and half-naked Daz in the hallway as they ran out of their bedrooms to his rescue. Father Simon, I would like your forgiveness, please. Well, of course, it's not really up to me. It's entirely up to our esteemed production team. I mean, I like this because it's very, very ingenious. I mean, who would have thought that propping up a bunch of Lego bricks on top of your cassette recorder, then putting a wider bit in just to make sure that when the mattress sags, it turns on the horror tape. Sister Susie, what do you say?
Yeah, I think Terry's very, very clever there. And you know what? I love that there was Lego in it. I love that, you know, he mentioned recording off the radio, because who hasn't done that? Everyone's done that. And I have to say, the fact that he got my forgiveness as soon as he said, older brother gave him a black eye. I'm a younger sister. I've got two older siblings and I forever will side with the youngest.
I suspect there's an awful lot, you know, it depends where you are in the pecking order as to whether people are going to forgive. And that will probably govern Matt's opinion.
Well, it would do normally, but he's the elder brother and I'm going to forgive. And the reason why is, like Susie says, you know, it's the ingenious use of the Lego and the Walkman. I never thought of using that. But I can imagine the A-Team putting this together. There's another reference from the 80s. I ain't getting on no plane. So for that reason, I'm going to forgive.
Are you the elder brother?
I am the elder brother, yes.
And is that really the major significance?
Yes, it is. It is because obviously I was there first, and then the other ones came along later and were apparently cuter than me. But in a way, I was still cute, even though they were, you know, younger than me.
Yeah. But they ruined your life, basically.
They did.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Terry's Tale, the classic sibling pecking order confession brought to you by Vocal Zone. I think the eagle-eyed listeners, can you have an eagle-eyed listener? I don't think you can. Doesn't matter. Just gloss over it.
Eagle-eared.
Gloss over it, Suze. The eagle-eared listeners will have spotted Simon's voice was struggling even then, wasn't it?
Just a little bit. So that's why we're here. And it's off to look at the parish notice board now, Matt. Over to you.
Yes, indeed. And as ever, we're going to be reading out the reviews left for us on iTunes. But do we read out the 2-star reviews? No, we don't.
Oh,
or the
no.
3-star reviews, Suze?
No.
4-star reviews? No. It's 5-star reviews all the way. So Lil J Wag says 5 stars. It's only 5 continental spangles, which makes no sense if this is the first time listening to this podcast. I award this chuckle fest 5 continental spangles. Huzzah. So pleased we found you on GHR, albeit a couple of months later. Unmissable. Always gives us a hearty belly laugh. The sainted, except Matt, lol, collective should be preserved in Aspic forever. Quite right.
Wow.
Part-time Sally says 5 stars in big bold as well. Well done. Best podcast. Saving my sanity since a disastrous move to the country. Long may it continue. But our favourite review of the week comes from Sniffer52. 5 stars, superb. Great to hear Simon, Matt, Susie and Holly with the greatest podcast on earth. But surely this should be called Matt Williams' Confessions, what? As he is by far the star of the show, giving excuses for the inexcusable. Quite right, Sniffer 52. Going to need to get my lawyer on to that one. Why isn't my name right at the top? Well, guess what? It is this week, isn't it, Suze? Matt and Suze's Confessions podcast. That's what it is this week.
Yeah, I don't think it's quite got the same ring to it. But, no. You know, you never know. Maybe in the future.
Maybe in the future. You sound like my mum saying... Can I have chips on the way home? Yeah, no. So we'll think about it. Yeah,
we'll think
yeah,
about it, yeah.
Maybe. So remember, if you leave us a review, you could be featuring on this very podcast next week. I don't need to tell you, though, that you will not get on unless you give us 5 stars.
Five stars.
And for everyone that's tweeted a code, you'll have to wait for next week for a bumper code phrase roll call. Keep listening to the end of this podcast for this week's secret code phrase. Good luck with that.
And if you have anything you'd like to feature on the notice board, remember you can email us confessions@greatesthitsradio.co.uk. And also, I've heard rumours that there might be some postcards or even some mugs that we can give out to some of our favourite ones.
So the mugs are back?
Maybe the mugs are back, but we'll... Maybe I shouldn't have said that. But wait for Simon next week.
Oh, no, I like us breaking the rules, Suze. And then the great news about that is that we can then blame it on Simon if management have got a problem with us mentioning the mugs and postcards. Great work. Okay, I think it's time for Not For Broadcast stuff, Suze.
Yes, it is. This is now back to excuses for the inexcusable, the confessions that made me feel a little bit sick while I was vetting them.
Yes, so number one comes from Harold, not your real name, Obvs. It's very understandable that on your first day of a new job, you are going to feel nervous, obviously, and have a bit of a dicky tummy. But really, you should have just gone to the toilet than risk breaking... I should have read this before. Breaking wind in your welcome meeting with the whole office.
Oh, no.
And crossing your fingers that it would be a silent one. Oh, my dear. It wasn't silent, though, was it? And also, it wasn't just breaking wind either. Oh, boy. That subject matter is simply not okay for Tea Time Radio. I do apologise if you've been listening to that while cooking. Sorry about that.
Not very good.
No.
And also, Jack.
Yes.
It isn't his real name. And he was only 7. In the 1960s, and cutting back on dinner money expenditure was a genius idea to save up for a model aeroplane kit. But the cheaper dinner option of boiled cabbage soaked in lard really did come back to bite him on the bum while he was purchasing his model kit. And it wasn't just the detail with which he described the cabbage cloud and the effect it had on all of the school children in the shop that just meant it couldn't be read out on the radio. And his teacher had the right idea when witnessing the whole event because he shook his head and looked down his nose.
Yeah,
Shame on you, Jack.
Yeah, I'm glad that we got two flatulence confessions into the Not For Broadcast. Well done, Suze.
This is
what happens when Simon's away, everyone. If you want to hear your flatulence stuff on, better hope that Simon's not doing the podcast. Still to come on the confessions, we've got two bonus ones from the crypt, but not before Mr. Banks's confession from this week. Let's go fly a kite.
Simon Mayo's confessions.
We won't tell anyone. What? Oh, sorry. I mean, we will tell everyone.
Mr. Banks sends in today's confession. Ah. Mr. Banks. Father Simon, brother Matt and sister Susie, I'll take you back to around 1985. We were living in the West Country in those days and liked to get out and about as much as my meagre wages would allow us to. We had a small car and decided one windy and blustery day to go up to Clifton Downs in Bristol. Ah. My son Chris was only 5, but had decided to try his hand at kite flying.
Aww.
We had purchased a rudimentary kite during the week previously, and so we were anxious to get it up there, soaring into the wide and open skies. It wasn't a posh one, just, well, quite basic, really. So we parked up and wandered away from the car, leaning into what was quite a strong wind. Good news, we thought. This will be a right goer. technical term for it's going to fly well. Yeah, yeah. When we'd gone a fair way from the car, because I didn't want to dive bomb our own car or any other nearby vehicles, I did the obligatory running away from Chris, who was tasked with holding the handle and string and so on. I held the kite and off I loped into what was now almost a gale, or so it seemed to us.
Oh, no.
The first few attempts failed completely, as you would expect. But on about the fifth try, up the kite went at a considerable rate of knots. It was swooping and diving and turning. We could not believe how good it was.
Wow.
Fantastic fun, Father Simon, I have to say. And shouts of encouragement from the whole family. This wasn't just good. This was M&S good.
Right.
No, sorry, it was really good. Sorry,
it was just
a little one for the vicar, in case he's listening.
Yeah.
It wasn't just good, it was really good. Then, in what seemed the far distance, I saw a young woman pushing a large pram. Not a problem, I thought. Then, as she got nearer to us and our stupendous kite, a faint flicker of doubt formed in my mind. The wind was slowing and the kite was losing altitude. Not majorly, but slowly, but she kept on coming towards us. And then the kite suddenly veered upward and then arrowed towards the ground at an alarming rate. Everything seemed then to go into slow motion. Chris battled to control the kite to no avail. I shrieked, "Get it up, get it up!" He couldn't, and the kite carried on going down, going down. And then the inevitable happened. It crashed straight into the pram.
Oh, no.
There was a moment of calm and then all hell broke loose. The incumbent child began to scream and roar, much the same as the woman who ran to us with wild eyes. "What have you done? You've killed my child!"
Maybe not.
I shouted that we hadn't, as the noise showed, in fact, that the child was well and truly alive.
Perfectly fine.
Now the odds of the kite landing where it did are so very long that there was nobody else about. How could this ever happen? Ah, but it had, and in the end, all was well. She turned on her heel, this woman, and with a withering look, headed off with her uninjured sprog. No one was harmed, Father Simon.
Everyone's
just
fine.
A little bit shocked and upset. Yeah. So I beg forgiveness for the child and its mother, in case the child and the mother grew up with a morbid fear of kites. Would that be a thing? Kitophobia or something? I see the funny side of it now, but at the time I felt at least 10 years older. As you can imagine, Chris continued his hobby of kite flying and got to be quite good at it. No more incidents, just this unfortunate one. Can I or we hope to be forgiven? I do hope so. And I'm asking you, I'm begging you, please, for a little bit of forgiveness. It's a Bristol confession. A Bristol confession with high winds and a kite that attacked a child. But everyone was fine. What do you say, Sister Susie?
I know the area very well, obviously. It's not too far away from me. And often when I was on maternity leave, I'd go up there with the pram and the baby. And you know what? I'd just be terrified if something like that happened. And maybe I would have had kitophobia at the end of it. So I'm very, very sorry. But just for the reason of that it could have happened to me, I'm not going to forgive.
Mr. Banks, it hasn't gone very well so far. What do you say, Matthew?
Is it just me, or is the onus not really on the mother here to not be pushing her pram into prime kite territory?
What?
You're supposed to, I mean, the whole thing is, you can't control a kite. It's in the hands of the elements of the wind.
Look up
pulling,
there!
Look up at the kite. That's what everyone says in kite flying.
Control with a string.
Thing. You're with a string, exactly. You can't control it with a string. You've got to pull back on the street, no idea where it's going. And so it's really on your, you've got to look out. Oh, look out, there's maybe a little boy in the pram. Watch out for the kites. That's what they were all saying. We all remember that at kite school. So for that reason, I'm going to forget.
What a shambles.
Good to be back.
Kite school.
She should have seen it coming.
She should, yeah. It's all the mother's fault.
Confess all. We won't tell anyone. Just the entire nation. Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Today's is sent in by Alfred. Thank you, Alfred. I imagine he's changed his name. Anyway. Simon and the collective congregation sitting in church this week, watching the young people make their first Holy Communion. Then Alfred said, "It triggered me to write to seek your forgiveness." I think it occurred to me that I should write to seek your forgiveness on behalf of my wife Maria, name changed, for a slip in standards against the Roman Catholic Church. The event occurred around 20 years ago when our daughter Margaret, again name changed, was preparing for this significant event. If you're not familiar with First Holy Communion practice, it is when eight-year-olds make their first commitment to the church and the parents of the child parade them like mini brides in white lacy gowns and grooms in suits. To say there is an inter-parent rivalry is an understatement. So having the correct dress, bag, shoes and headwear is a must. Eight-year-old girls are turned to Bridezilla overnight through this process. Wow, to do. We were advised to visit a shop run by nuns that specialised in girls' Holy Communion attire. You would think that a shop run by nuns is going to be the perfect place to go.
Okay.
So off we set to what I can only describe as a shop full of miniature brides' dresses and accessories. There were hundreds, even thousands of them. Oh, so many. We were given a warm welcome from two very accomplished super sales nuns. I'm not sure that's an official category
really.
Of nun.
No.
Mother Superior, yes, super sales nun, not sure. Anyway, they knew every trick to upsell the various items.
Okay.
After 2 hours of trying and selecting, we were finally done. A large pile of items sat on the old desk at the front of the shop, behind which one of the nuns stood, smiling and rubbing her hands together. The nun asked how I would be paying. At this point, I chose not to ask for a collection to be sent round and replied, credit card? The nun's face immediately frowned and she replied in a strong Irish accent.
Oh, here we go. Right. Go on.
The father does not like credit cards, she said. I'm not going to do it.
Really? Come on.
Father does not like credit cards, to be sure. You can get cash from the high street if you haven't enough on you. Clearly the father liked the simplicity of dealing with cash. What other reasons could there be for not wanting traceable payments? So dutifully I quickly looked at the tags on the items and calculated how much I needed to get from the bank. 10 minutes later I was back with cash in hand to complete the transaction. Whilst I was away, the nuns had parcelled up the items and had prepared the bill. To my surprise, the bill was £29.70 less than my calculation, and from the quick glance, I could see an item charged at 30p rather than £30. I whispered to my Catholic wife that they'd made a mistake and we should tell them. I immediately got a snap reply of, "They've made enough out of us. We're not telling them anything." We paid the reduced price, thanked the nuns, and set off home. The car journey home was very tense. You did not need to be a rocket scientist to know that my wife's conscience was giving her some challenges. This wasn't helped by me saying how pleased I was with the discount and suggesting how we might spend the £30 windfall that we just had. Just as we arrived home, Maria shouted out loudly, "What have I done? I've ripped off a nun!"
Right.
She was then in floods of tears and she shouted it again, "I've ripped off a nun!" I tried to console her by saying at least she would be warm in hell. Surprisingly, this didn't really help very much.
No.
So we agreed that we would call the shop and advise they had made a mistake. We did call the shop and our honesty was received with thanks and blessings from the nuns. A few days later, a letter arrived inside a beautiful mass card with a message which said, "Dear Maria, it was lovely to see you on Saturday. It's fantastic to meet honest people. Thank you for the check now received. Father has been advised of your honesty and also sends his blessings. Regards, Sister Agnes and Sister Ursula." Now, 20 years ago, it still troubles Maria for not having done the right thing first time she ripped off a nun. Could the whole thing have been some orchestrated test of honesty set by the church? Did we pass, albeit on the second attempt? Did Father really only insist on cash payments due to the proportionally high card transaction fees charged by banks, or was there something else going on? So many questions. For Maria's sake, could you please search deep into your hearts to offer some forgiveness? Many thanks, and kneeling at your altar of forgiveness, what can you tell me? Apart from the fact that was an absolutely
superb
rock on fade.
Yeah, brilliant.
Certain words from Sister Holly? I don't know.
Oh, it's a really, really difficult one. And I can absolutely see why in the moment they thought, oh, actually, I might keep quiet about this. However, they were nuns. And that kind of changes things.
Does it? I mean, ripping off a nun's the same as ripping off a head teacher or a shop worker.
Yeah, but I was in a shop once and they only charged me £5 for a pair of boots and they were actually like 35, and like I don't think I came forward. So part of me feels like maybe I shouldn't. I should forgive.
You don't think you came forward? Yeah, I think we all know you didn't.
However, they did rip off a nun. They ripped off a nun, and that's different as a sister myself, and so that's why I don't forgive.
They could be evil nuns.
They could be evil nuns. That's a possibility.
A brother from another country.
So I'm going to forgive, not because of the evil nuns, but mainly their attitude towards credit cards and cash. What's going on there? And how come they were okay with the cheque later on? More questions than answers, good I'm point. Going to say. So I'm definitely going to forgive, to be sure, because there's quite a lot going on in that confession. They'd made enough as it was, the evil or not evil nuns.
Something to confess. Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Final one of the week comes from Olivia. Good afternoon, Olivia. Father Simon. I'll have you know, she says, I'm a 39-year-old happily married woman. My
good start. Yeah.
My husband and I have been together since I was 21.
Okay.
We are very happy.
Okay.
In my late teens, however, I did date but was fairly timid. So the events I'm about to describe were quite out of character. Honestly, they really, really were out of character. I'm not like this at all. I wouldn't want you to think badly of me.
This is so promising. This is very good.
It all happened when I was around 18 or 19 years of age in the early 2000s. I'd recently split from a steady boyfriend, and friend and I had decided a night out was in order. You know how it is. At this point, I would like to add that due to a recent resurgence in popularity, I was wearing a pair of leather trousers. The reason for noting this will soon become clear. Quite why I'm apologising in tone for wearing these fabulous trousers, I'm not sure, but they were leather and fabulous, although they can often give the wrong impression, and I wouldn't want that because I'm not that kind of girl. Mm-hmm. My friend and I found ourselves going to a house party with a group of boys that we had just met. But I'm not like that normally.
No, okay.
They were okay in general. But I was up for fun and fancy business. That's
why
basically.
Not?
So that's what happened. Fun and fancy business proceeded.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
This is where you avert your gaze, Father Simon, as the sorry saga continues. I really am rather ashamed of everything that happened. Anyway, Lucas was the man in question, and if you squinted hard at him, he looked a bit like Tom Cruise's older brother in a few years' time.
Oh, dear.
And it was dark. Anyway, who cares about any of that? I think he ran the pet store.
Oh.
Which wasn't somewhere I had ever visited because I don't like pets.
Oh.
Anyway, a lot of information.
Yes, unnecessary.
I woke early the next morning with a sense of absolute panic. I also vaguely remembered someone saying that my friend was going to leave early as she had work that morning. Now, remembering that I didn't do this kind of thing, I needed to get out fast. Now, anyone who's ever worn leather trousers will know that putting them on never happens at speed. I tottered, I stumbled, I applied talcum powder, I then tottered again, tugged, pulled.
Oh, no!
And after what felt like an age, they were on. What a relief. Also, I hadn't woken Pet Shop Lucas, who was still asleep. I ran downstairs to be greeted with a house full of sleeping revellers. What a rabble they looked. Immorality was everywhere, Father Simon, I have to tell you.
Oh, wow.
I quietly tried the front and back doors because I had to get out. To my horror, they were both locked with no keys in sight. And that's when I spied my exit plan, an open window above the kitchen sink.
Oh, dear.
I clambered up onto the side, swung myself out, jumped down to freedom.
Oh, no.
No, actually, that's not what happened.
No.
What actually happened was as I swung my leather-trousered legs out of the window, I jumped and crashed straight through a wheelie bin lid. I was in the wheelie bin like Top Cat.
Oh, no!
I jumped out with such speed I'd made a rather large hole, which only made this worse as I tried to heave myself back out. As I look back on this now, I realise
Had I not been wearing those leather trousers, I would probably have suffered a very painful injury.
Yeah.
Which I imagine is absolutely right. As it was, I crashed into the wheelie bin, crashed it to the floor, and then fled, leaving a very broken wheelie bin and rubbish strewn all over the floor. Nappy sacks, takeaway rubbish, bin bags bursting, you name it. It was spread over the tiles. So here we go. Now, Father Simon, I need to seek forgiveness from that house-sharing group, none of whose names I know, obviously, who will probably have woken up and thought they'd been burgled. I also seek forgiveness for what can only have been a costly task trying to get a replacement wheelie bin, as we all know that the council won't have believed their story about a leather trouser-wearing Cinderella having caused the hole in the first place. Can I just say in my defence, says Olivia at the end, that I'm not that kind
no,
of girl?
No.
So wow. So there you go. That's an interesting, if fairly, you know, there was an awful lot of justification going on there, an awful lot of extenuating circumstances for Olivia. Let's see what Sister Susie makes of that from the pub.
Well, Olivia, I love that, and I feel so sorry for you. But what I can say is one benefit is you actually got your leather trousers back on. Reminded me of that scene from Friends where Ross puts all the talcum powder on and then the baby lotion, and it gets into a paste, and he ends up just walking out with his leather trousers in his hands, still in his pants, because he couldn't get them back on.
So at least he got them back on.
Yeah.
You should watch, it's very good. Great Top Cat reference as well, I love that. And I'm just going to forgive you, because we've all been in similar situations at one point, and, you know, I thought you did very well.
Okay. Brother
Let's
from another
gutter. Yes, quick poll of who's worn leather pants in this
Not
studio.
Not leather pants.
Or leather trousers.
Leather trousers.
Whatever.
I wore leather trousers on television.
Really?
I've still got them. I might wear them on Monday.
Oh, do it.
My. Well, I say to you, Olivia, nothing to apologise for. Who are we to judge? Well, we are here to judge. That's the point of this feature. But we are here going to judge and say, you know, I mean, which of us? I mean, I've never worn them, but I'm sure they clearly did go down very well. But then they got back on, which is what counts. And then you got them out of the wheelie bin. So good for you. And for that reason,
yes.
I choose to forgive.
So two extra bonus crypt confessions there, not featured on the podcast yet. That concludes a special confessions collective takeover episode of the podcast for this week. I have to say, Suze, I think of all of the podcasts we've done, I'm going to say this is the best we've done.
Is this your
Would you
favorite?
Agree with that? Yes, I think so.
Well, I think it's very nice. I think we've done a rather good job.
I think so.
Just remember that if you have a request for a classic confession you'd like to hear again, or indeed you've got something that you've kept away that you need to ask forgiveness for, you can send it to us at confessions@greatesthitsradio.co.uk. Over to Brother Matt now for this week's secret code phrase.
And I was very tempted to go for cabbage cloud bluntly, that's what's going to stick with me from this particular episode.
Cloud.
But I think in all honesty, we should put hashtag get well soon, Simon, hoping that he's back very soon, which I'm sure he will be. It's just a bit of a dicky voice, that's all. And if you've listened this far, tweet at Simon Mayo on X or Twitter, or go to at Mr. Simon Mayo on Threads if you're still persisting with that. And don't forget Blue Sky,
Blue Sky, of course,
because he's got literally dozens of people on Blue Sky with him, all of them howling into the void. And keep telling everyone, Simon Mayo's Confessions podcast is back, and we will have Simon himself back next week.
Until next time, it's goodbye from me, Sister Susie in the pub.
And goodbye from me, Brother Matt in the gutter. By the way, if you're thinking of complaining about the fact that there's no Simon Mayo, I am going to let you know you can have this podcast 50% off. So 50% of whatever you've paid for this podcast, take that off, and we will reimburse you if you've not liked it so far. See you next week.
Bye-bye.
Simon Mayo's Confessions. Want to confess? Simon Mayo would love to hear your story. He may even keep it to himself.
He definitely won't keep it to himself.
Send gory details, please, to confessions@greatesthitsradio.co.uk.